630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the show for this week. Hey, let's start the countdown, shall we? 7 weeks from tomorrow, May the 12th, main camps will open up across the Canadian Football League. Lots to do before then, like the Combine this week in Winnipeg, and then the draft at the end of April. The Elks looked after some business this week. After a long wait, they finally announced their coaching staff for 2024, and change is the theme. Five new faces and five returning faces on Chris Jones' staff for this season. Back for another year, offensive coordinator Jarius Jackson, special teams coordinator Mike Shepper, along with receivers coach Marcus Howell, O-line coach Steven Sorrells, and strength and conditioning coach Aaron Craig. Not returning, Stephen McAdoo, Demetrius Maxey, Cam Robinson, Jordan Lennon, and Brandon Isaac. The new names that are joining the staff this year, Jason Shivers, more on him in a moment, Marcus Klund is the defensive backs coach. Albert Poirier is the running backs coach. Nate O'Neill will handle the defensive line. And Tacoby Cofield is an offensive line assistant. Jones talked this week about why so much change.
Football is a fluid game. And sometimes it's not like I dislike those guys. Not like I think they did just a terrible job. It was just sometimes the players just need a little different voice in order to reach their potential. And so that's kind of where I was going with our staff.
The biggest change is that Jones is dropping the defensive coordinator title, a title he's had in the Canadian Football League since 2003 when he was in Montreal. It was a decision that was difficult for him to make, but Jones says it will give him more time with coaches on the offensive side of the ball and on special teams.
What it does, it makes just a little more of a fluid environment where you're right, I can work with the other two phases in a little bit more detail. And so that's something that I've been looking to do. And now having a guy that, you know, not only, not just bringing in a D coordinator, but somebody I know and trust as much as I do Shives. I mean, he's like you mentioned earlier, I mean, we're like family.
How difficult was the decision for you to step away from being a defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, it's something you've done for so long. It's kind of like, it's kind of like when you're driving a car, sometimes you have to let somebody else drive, you know. So, as I've gotten older, you know, turning the reins loose, it'll be tough, you know. But I'm going to have my input with it. And but like I say, it's going to be a lot of fun because I'm working with a guy that I completely trust and know. And I know that he's going to give everything that he's got every single day.
And that, of course, is Jason Shivers, who's been with Saskatchewan and their defensive coordinator for the last four seasons. He's been coaching with Chris Jones since 2014 here in Edmonton. And Shivers is not surprised that the two of them are back together again.
We're like family, so, you know, we stay in touch. And, you know, we always know that if the opportunity presented itself later on that, you know, we would cross paths and work together again. You know, I enjoy the working environment, working under coach. You know, he sets a high bar and he, you know, demands that everybody come in and be ready to work. So, you know, I love that environment. And like he said earlier, you know, we got the same philosophy. I may have added one or two things to the wrinkles, but that's just an expansion on a lot of what we've done already in the past. It's a full circle moment that I think is going to bring a lot of sparks for our coaching staff and for the Edmonton Elks. I think, you know, having the time away from them really just helped me develop what and how I wanted to go about the process, you know, always with what we've done in the past in the back of my mind. But, you know, there'll be a call here or there or a situation in the game that I would, you know, kind of hear him when he was mentoring me, even as a DB coach. Now, I really wouldn't have called that right there. So, you know, looking back on it, but no, it's exciting for me, my family, my wife's excited about it. You know, us being reunited, obviously we won a great cup together. So, you know, that's our thoughts. We're coming in to, you know, just put it over the top. I think the Edmonton Elks had a, you know, solid team. The record didn't reflect that, but I think week in and week out, any coach you ask in the CFL didn't really want to play them. I mean, because, you know, you didn't know what you were going to get. You know, and they could put it on you. So as we saw in some of the games they did down the stretch, So yeah, just working back with Chris again, you know, Coach Jones, I'm super excited. I know I can have his input. But I also know he told me when he hired me, hey, it's your show, man. You know, do what you do. You've earned it. And so it feels good to be able to be in this position.
That's Jason Shivers, the Elks' new defensive coordinator. He's also assistant head coach and linebackers coach as well. This week, Chris Jones and his assistant, T-Roy Simon, focused on the Combine there in Winnipeg, watching and interviewing players that will be drafted on April 30th. Of course, the Elks have the first overall selection in this year's draft. G-Roy on that pick and the Combine after the break. It's the Elks this week on 630 CHED.
More football talk on the Elks this week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
CFL coaches, GMs, and scouts all in Winnipeg this week. The CFL Combine is taking place. Draft-eligible players are all there as well. They'll get put through the paces as part of the preparation for the Canadian draft coming up on April the 30th. The Elks, of course, have the first overall pick in the draft this year, so this is obviously a big week for them. Going into it, I talked with Elks assistant general manager, G-Roy Simon.
It's really important. I think that, you know, we have a great opportunity to improve our club. You know, the draft, you know, a lot of times the draft is, you know, you're drafting these guys and looking for the future for these guys. But, you know, as you've seen, you know, for the last 2 years, we've drafted guys and given guys an opportunity to play. I think the Canadian talent is getting a lot better each and every year. And I think this year's draft really is very significant in the fact that, you know, a few of these guys that are in the draft, they're going to have an opportunity to play right away because, you know, they played a lot of big time football or in youth sport football. They've been very successful. So, you know, we're looking for a guy that, you know, maybe not necessarily is going to start right away, but, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to, you know, to upgrade our roster and have an opportunity to be a starter at some point that, you know, in 2024.
You guys, I think 2 years ago, had the first overall pick and ended up making a trade and getting two first round picks, which included picking up Trey Ford. Is there much talk about that first pick this year? Have teams been, is it too early for teams to be knocking on your door to ask about it?
Yeah, you know, we heard some rumblings about teams sniffing around, but there hasn't been anything serious. I think we're pretty comfortable in where we're at right now. We have quite a number of picks, you know, in the first 30. So we're looking forward to, you know, taking the pick and upgrading our roster.
What's the biggest thing that as a scout you get out of the combine?
I think, you know, the biggest thing is verifying the information that we've seen on video, this verifying the type of guys that we've seen on video. You can only guess on what type of people these guys are. You can only, you know, talk to a coach so much. You can only, you know, talk to personnel people and at the university level so much. It's an opportunity to get in front of these guys, to see body types, to talk to these young men and understand, you know, the type of people they are, what makes them go, what makes them excited and see if they really love football.
Are there more team drills this year like there has been the last couple of years? And how important are those kind of to get the football sense of a player aside from just how many push-ups he can do and all the stuff that you count? How important is it seeing a guy in that football team atmosphere?
It's great because, like you said, there's only so many bench press reps you can do. There's only so many 40s you can do. There's only so many vertical and broad jumps you can do. But to see these guys in actual pads and see them move around, see how they interact with team, with other players, how they, what type of leadership qualities they have. And you know, you can understand that the running theme for us this offseason has been, you know, leadership and character and you know, being a good teammate. So that's going to be very important to see how they interact with other guys in the football setting.
Can you run down when it comes to draft day, drafting players? You want to draft good players, but you don't want to draft really good players because they might end up in the NFL. It's kind of a fine line that you have to walk, because if you take a guy who's got an NFL shot, it's a gamble, and you might see him in a year, you might see him in September, you might never see him at all.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, that's the good thing with having the NFL draft, you know, happen before our draft, is because we'll have an opportunity to see, you know, which guys either get drafted or which guys are you know, free agents, or which guys are even going to mini camp. We'll have an idea, you know, pretty, you know, 12 hours after the draft, to see who's, you know, who signed free agency, who signed as priority free agents, or, you know, how much money they got. We can always tell, you know, what chances a guy has on by how much money he's gotten as if he's a priority free agent, or if he's gone to rookie minicamp, or if he's, you know, if he's got nothing. So we'll have a pretty good idea where guys stand about 12 hours after the draft.
Yeah, drafted guys especially, all of a sudden you get drafted in the NFL and your CFL stock, even though you're a really good player, it drops pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it plummets. It plummets pretty quick, just because, you know, we're in the win now business, and you know you want to take those guys, but, you know, you're going to draft the guy that's not showing up for a few years.
How often do you draft by position, or how often do you just say best player on the board?
For us, it's going to be best player available. But, you know, the thing is, you always have to draft offensive linemen, because, you know, you always have, you know, just based on salaries and based on the need for, you know, and the scarcity of offensive linemen, you always have to, you know, protect yourself offensive line wise. But after that, it's best player available.
At the combine, how important to you are the interviews?
I think they're pretty important, but, you know, a lot of times these guys are coached up. The best for me, the best thing is to walk up to a guy when he's totally comfortable while he's, you know, moving from one drill to the next drill, or walking to the bus and grab a guy and have an open and you know, a conversation on the spot. You know, that's when you'll see the real character of some of these guys, just because, you know, they're so coached up by their agents, they're coached up by their coaches and other players, that, you know, sometimes you don't get the true personality of these guys.
It's funny you mention that, because I remember last year watching things when they were in Edmonton for the combine, and particularly Chris Jones. I watched most of the scouts and GMs were sitting up in the stands watching, but he was walking around amongst the players and he was chatting them up. And obviously you get information and nice tidbits about them, about their personality and things that you can use doing it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, Chris is the master at, you know, getting to know players, you know, of how, who they are, you know, how they originally interact with guys. So, he's great about doing that. And, you know, he's not the typical GM. He's not one to sit up in the stand. He wants to be in the mix. And, you know, myself, you know, being a former player, you know, standing next to the huddle, you know, you understand who's talking and who's showing leadership and you know, who's kind of hanging back and not saying anything. So it's important to do those things, because, like I said, you get a true sense of who these guys really are.
I'm going to go back in the day now, G-Roy. Did you go to the NFL Combine?
I did, yes.
What's your memories of that, and how different is it now than it was back then?
Well, it you know, for me, it wasn't the greatest experience. It was a long, long, drawn out day. I remember doing 32 physicals for every team. I remember doing this Cybex testing, something I'd never done before. It was the first day, and I should have never did it, because I'd never even tried it before, and it just wore me out. So I didn't have the greatest combine experience, but it was a learning lesson for me. You know, I did get to meet some guys that were really cool. And guys that I, you know, still talk to this day. So, you know, that was a positive experience. But it's one of those things where you got to really be prepared, because if you're not prepared for it, you know, you won't perform at the highest level.
And I guess that's part of what we talked about before too. Sometimes the results don't match the career, right? You turned out pretty good, as I recall. Didn't have a combine, but you're in a Hall of Fame. So one day doesn't a career make, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, sometimes you just have an off day, regardless of how much you train and how much you prepare for. Sometimes you just have an off day, and then that, you know, like you said, it doesn't, you know, it, it doesn't, you know, define who you are as a player. It's just, you know, you had an off day and it's at the wrong time.
From the scout's perspective, we go to the player's perspective. Running back Matthew Peterson of the Alberta Golden Bears is in Winnipeg, and he's ready for whatever gets thrown his way this week.
Yeah, no, I expect the usual combine type of things. You know, you expect the testing, you expect the practices. I expect a lot of competition. You know, it's a combine, so you're bringing the best out of the best. And I expect to compete with them. You know what I mean? And honestly, I just been preparing as normal, been eating right, making sure my diet's all good, so my body's being like the temple it is. And then, just going out and just practicing our 5.10 5s, our 40s, just being able to test those a little bit just gives us a little bit of a range of where to see where we're at. That also helps, and that's honestly like probably been my biggest thing. And also just gaining a little bit more strength in the gym just on my bench. That's what I've been preparing for. But no, it's funny because you mentioned it, like you have that switch from the team mentality to now it's like yourself. And it's you now. And, you know, it's kind of that shift where now I have to start thinking for myself, you know, and thinking about myself, but still have that mentality of, you know, no matter where I go, it's going to be a team and I'm there to make that team better.
The combine was in Edmonton last year. Did you sneak a peek at it at all? Did you get any kind of sense of maybe what to expect now going into this year, and how important was that to you?
Yep. No, I did get a chance to go there. I think I went 2 days last year to go watch. I went to go watch their testing the first day, so I got to actually time their 40s. I volunteered for that, so I helped hand time their 40s and jot down all that. And actually the previous year I had helped do the bench pressing for the regional combine that was held in Edmonton as well. So it's good. I feel it was very helpful for me, and it's very, very impactful because then you get to go in, and even though you're not performing necessarily per se, but you're in that environment. And so you get to have that feeling of that environment and what to expect from that environment, you know, and just seeing all the other guys be able to perform, you know, that just gives me a leg up being able to watch it.
The drills and everything are part of it. So are the interviews with teams. What do you know about those? Are you prepared for those? Because some of them can get kind of weird at times. We've all heard stories about players being asked to pick a donut that matches their personality or whatever the case may be. Have you talked to anybody who's gone through that? And tell me about getting ready to go to those meetings.
But yeah, I have talked to a couple of my former teammates and the guys who went through the draft previously and everything like that. So I've gotten down a couple of notes and everything like that, and some of the questions that they ask. But other than that, I also talk to my agent. So we go through that. We have the whole process of talking through the interview, getting educated on not the answers, because, you know, no one wants a robot, but just walking through what to expect. And I mean, at the end of the day, you get asked a question about your favorite donut. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I got a sweet tooth myself. So, the drills, drills are drills. They're just based on your athleticism. And I mean, like, you can't really expect, I mean, too much from them. I mean, they're going to throw you a lot of different stuff at you, and you just got to adapt to it.
What's your favorite donut?
I get apple fritter. It's a classic. Yep. You don't miss. It doesn't miss.
Matthew Peterson is one of four Golden Bears at the Combine. The others, offensive lineman Daniel Shin, DBs Jonathan Giustini, and Tyshawn Blackburn. The Combine will wrap up tomorrow in Winnipeg. Some of it's being live streamed by the CFL, so check their website out if you want to have a look. The Elks will have some big organizational news next week. They'll announce their plans for the 2024 season on Monday. Details on how they will celebrate the organization's 75th anniversary. We'll have those details for you and a whole lot more next week on the show. But that's it for this week. My name's Morley Scott. Let's talk more football in 7 days' time on the Elks this week on 630 Chet.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.